Accession number 32386, Mr. Bill Shepherd, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Shepherd?
I was born in Edinburgh.
And what was the date?
23rd of September, 1907.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? Did the family come from Edinburgh?
I think they originally came from Dundee, and both my mother's family and my father's family moved to Edinburgh.
And what did they do for a living? Tell us a bit about
my
family.
My father was a coachman. In the days when it was horses, it would be horses in 1907. And of course he wore the traditional tile hat, blue frock coat, buckskin breeches and boots. He worked for a firm called Kroll and Sons, who may still be in operation in Edinburgh. Yes. And my mother was just a spinster.
And whereabouts in Edinburgh did you live?
Well, the bit I remember living in Leith, in a street called Hal Meyer Street, H-A-L-M-Y-R-E Street, in Leith, actually.
Now, can you give us an idea what your childhood was like in Edinburgh? Just give us, you know, something...
Well, an ordinary working-class childhood, and with my father being a coachman, horses entered into it quite a lot. And I can remember, as a child, age four, going with my father to the stables on a Sunday morning, because the stables were in the same street we lived in, and he mucked that muck out when I, in turn as a small boy, with a pail of warm water, washed the horse's fetlocks. Well, the horses tried to eat my hair, you know. And my father saw there's two, I always had some sugar with me. And of course, my parents parted at the beginning of the war, you know. So the period, not 7 to 1914, is fairly blank. It was just all the. We started going to school and that kind of thing, you know.
What sort of a street was it you lived on? You told us where it was, but what, was there a community? I mean, were you in the apartments or a house?
Flats, like typical Edinburgh, stone flats with in a row with a passageway through to the back. They're still there, still lived in.
Was it reasonably comfortable growing up?
Oh, yes. Well, my father, of course, being a coachman, was often out on hirings, you see, and his hours were what you might call irregular. He'd be out to meet people coming from the theatre and that kind of thing. You know.
Now, you started school. Which school did you start at?
Loch End School in Leith.
And what was that like? What do you remember your first school?
I remember it fairly well as an infant, you know. But I remember one bad thing about it. I remember at a drawing lesson that the model was an apple. And for some reason I drew a green apple, you see. And they all thought this was funny, that I should draw a green apple when really it was a red apple. But no one spotted the fact that I was colourblind. And I was colourblind, actually. But the teacher should have seen it then, but she didn't. However, and later on, when the war started, my parents parted. My mother went off to make munitions down in England, and my father joined the Royal Flying Corps, as it was then, as an air mechanic.
Now, did he tell you anything about, you stayed with your, where did you go?
I went to Kirkcaldy and stayed with my grandmother.
Now,
incidentally, there's a photograph there, a family group, and my grandmother's a little girl in the corner, behind that picture there.
They won't be able to see it, but I can see it, yeah. So you moved, when was that, 1914?
1914, yes.
I'll come back to you. How did you find being separated from your parents and the breakup?
Well, I'm very fond of my grandmother. The only thing I found strange was that the school I went to, which was called the Red School at that time, an elementary, called the Red School, because it was built of red sandstone. They had a different procedures from the school in Leith, Loch End Road School, and I find it quite difficult to integrate.
Why? Tell me a bit more about that.
Well, they had different signs for the mathematical processes of dividing and multiplying and so on, you know, and a different mode of teaching, but I settled in quite well.
What did you like at school? What were you good at? What didn't you like, perhaps? What were you bad at?
I seemed that I was good at everything, because by the time I was 11, I gained a bursary to go to the local high school, Kirkcaldy High, where the Prime Minister went to. And there I stayed at the high school until I was 15. And then, because we weren't that well off financially, I had to go to work.
I'm going to move you back to the war, because I know there's a couple of stories about that. When you were at the high school, I mean, did you take any qualifications at all, or did you just leave?
I took the ordinary curriculum, my choice, and a choice of languages. I could have Latin and French, or Latin and German. I took German and Latin, and I was very good at it. I won the school prize for the most advanced pupil. I could tell you a little story about that book, but that's later on. I won a school prize with a book of German poetry. I think it was called Die Deutsche Dichter, something like that.
Would it be fair to say that if the family had been better off, you could perhaps have gone to further education?
I would have gone, yes. But you see, the situation in Kirkcaldy in those days, if you went to university, you had to go by train every morning. So it was quite an expensive procedure. You had to have a season ticket and all that.
Now, any other subjects? So you like, you were good at them all, I understand.
I was good at mathematics, and very good at physics.
So sciences, languages, that
kind of thing? Oh, yes.
Anything you didn't like?
Latin. I thought it was a waste of time, actually. I didn't like Latin at all.
While you were at school, did you do much sport? Was sport important to you or not?
Sport, there was quite a lot of sport at Kirkcaldy High. You had a rugby team and cricket team and all that. But you had to have special clothing, you see. And my family couldn't afford to buy special clothing. So I went to gymnastics, and I didn't play football or any of these games.
Any good at gymnastics? Yes,
I was good at gymnastics.
Now, did you stay in touch with your father and mother after the marriage had broken up? I'm just wondering whether your father ever spoke to you about his time in the Royal Flying Corps.
No, they never got together again.
But did you stay in touch with them?
Well, my mother came to live with her mother, my grandmother. But my father used to come and see us now and then, but on these occasions my mother made herself scarce.
Now, I believe you joined the Boy Scouts.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that. And there's
that was the 44th Troop of Kirkcaldy.
And tell us a bit about this, because Boy Scouts are quite interesting, because they have a military aspect to them, especially in the...
I enjoyed the Boy Scouts very
what
much
kind
indeed.
What activity did you...
Everything. Became a King Scout and all that kind of kid. I was keyed on scouting.
So, but what were the main activities you did? Could you know, just run through what you did.
Well, camping, a lot of hiking. Do you know Kirkcaldy, Bob? We used to go camping in Johnny's Lone, if you know it, with a right of way, you know. Called at Weems Firs, we camped there. We did a lot of camping, and I was very good at field work, map reading, and that kind of thing.
Now, I believe you've got a story about how you saw a zeppelin, which is quite amusing.
Oh, yes.
Tell us as much as you remember about it.
During the war, the scout troop did a morning patrol along the shoreline from Dysart to Kinghorn, about 6 miles, and came back in the bus. And one morning, it was quite early, of course, the sun was setting, and lo and behold, there was a zeppelin over Dunbar. I can vouch, I've got someone who'll vouch for that for me, who's in here, a fellow who was in the Navy at the time. He was only 3 years old at the time, but he saw it from Tayport.
And what did it look like? Can you give us a picture of it?
The Zeppelin was just over Dunbar, and I was on what became the Prom in Kirkcaldy. And the Zeppelin, of course, was quite clearly lit against the black sky because it was just dawn. And that was all. No action took place, no firing, no gunfire, all that kind of thing.
And what was it doing?
Just being. It was just hovering there and eventually moved off in a southerly direction.
Away from you.
I was looking across at Dunbar, you see, and the Zeppelin moved off half left to where I was standing.
Now, tell me a bit more about these patrols, because you propelled between Kirkcaldy and Kinghorn, was it?
Dysart Harbour, and along the shoreline to Kinghorn.
What were these patrols for?
Just to see if anything had come ashore. Just to keep us busy, perhaps, or doing something. It was just to see if anything had come ashore.
And how many would be on a patrol?
About 10, perhaps.
Would there be the scoutmaster with you, or just a senior?
No, the patrol leader.
And were you on bikes?
Walking.
So how far would you walk?
6 miles.
Three there, three back, or six back?
We did three there and came back in a bus. With a free ride in the bus, as I remember.
So you'd go the 6 miles and then you'd get the bus back.
Yes.
And did you ever, other than the Zeppelin, anything else ever happen on one of those patrols?
Not much, no.
Do you know how old you were when this happened?
I was nine.
So that
would
be
1916. And my friend who lives in here, he was three.
I think that's probably that. Any other memories about the war while we're covering the war, the Great War?
I remember my grandmother reading the Scotsman's sheets of paper of casualties, wounded, missing, and all that. Sheet after sheet of names, yes.
Did that make any impact on you as a child, or did you know what was really happening?
I wasn't really old enough to care about the war, really.
Any other ways in which the war may or may not have impacted on you?
Well, soldiers living in Adam Smith Hall, billeted there.
Have you seen much of them?
Oh, yes. And Sir Michael Nairn, the Northern man, his son was killed in the war. And Sir Michael donated a war memorial to Kirkcaldy in the shape of a library, which may still be there.
So what anything else you want to tell us about the Great War? I mean, I appreciate you were fairly young.
Nothing much about the Great War. My grandmother took me once to Edinburgh, and by a chance, she met her cousin on the train in the same carriage. He belonged to Tayport. He was a lighthouse keeper on the Pyle in Tayport, named Bob Pride, P-R-Y-D-E. Now, there was nothing of great note that I noticed in the First World War.
Well, you were pretty young. Going back to chronology, you sort of finished school. Now, what year did you finish school then? When you were 14?
15.
15,
yeah.
So 1922.
Yes.
And what were you going to do? What was the plan for you? What work were you going to do?
I worked for a grocer's message boy. I used to fill bottles full of beer, put them in baskets containing six bottles and deliver them, because people didn't drink in pubs in those days, they drank at home, you see. And I delivered the beer in baskets holding six bottles.
Was that all you delivered, beer, or were you doing the rest of the grocery?
Well, I delivered everything, but I did the beer. I also filled the bottles with beer, you see. I had to suck a siphon to get started to fill the bottles. And by the end of my afternoon stint on a Saturday afternoon, I was fairly pickled, actually. I can remember that.
And where would you deliver to? Was it just round the Kirkcaldy?
Round Kirkcaldy, up the steep hill from the high street and round to the posh part of town.
Would you collect the money, or would that would be dealt with? No,
that was all done by the grocer, whose name was Girdwood, by the way, Girdwood, a mean man.
In what way?
Paid me low wages. And if I ate any of his biscuits, he objected.
And what sort of hours were you working at? What sort of hours were you working at?
Oh, all my non-school hours, really.
I thought this was when you'd left school.
Well, actually, I worked all day until I got too old to be given the peanuts for wages, and then I went to a firm in Kinghorn.
So when would that be?
Well, I can't remember the year.
How old were you? About?
I'd be about 15, yes.
So you didn't work at the grocer's long after
that? No, I wasn't going to be a grocer, because this fellow Girdwood had a son of his own, you see. About my age.
So what did you go and do at Kinghorn?
I went to Kinghorn Leather Works. In those days, motor cars were upholstered with real leather. And this firm, the Kinghorn Leather Works, produced fine leather in patterns for expensive motor cars.
Tell me what actual work you did on the leather. What was your job there?
I was a general roustabout. When someone was sick or something, I did his job. From stoking the boilers, that kind of thing, you know.
So just a general, you weren't a skilled tradesman?
Oh, no.
Was the idea that you'd become an apprentice leather worker, or what was the idea?
I wasn't really old enough. For the leather work required someone to be a man's size, because you're reaching over a whole hide of leather stretched in a frame. You see, it took a man to reach to the centre of that, because they applied a mixture to the hides which contained rubber as a waterproofing agent, and it's quite hard work, actually. And then someone had to carry these hides and put them in the hot stove. We called it a stove, but it was a place where you could hang hides up to dry them out. Yes. It was a monotonous job.
Now, how long did you do that for?
Until I got the sack. I got the sack for being too old.
And when was that?
Oh, I can't remember.
How old about?
I've been around about 17, I think.
So you do it about 2 years?
Yeah, I did it about two and a half years at in the leather works, yes. Well, when I worked for the grocer, I had a spell working for a nurseryman, a nursery, Mondarine nurseryman in Fife at the time, Edward Sang and Sons. So I learned a lot about having green fingers. I was probably with Sang and Sons for about a year, I think.
Right.
It gave me big muscles working for Sang and Sons, because when you've been pricking plants out in seed boxes and that, you didn't trundle them about in a wheelbarrow, you carried them, so you didn't shake the soil. They were very heavy in stretchers.
So what next after? So the leather works, then what?
Then I got too old for the leather works. I was learning quite a bit actually, but I got the push anyway. I think the girl who worked in the place where they made the wreaths was a very pretty girl. I think she was getting afraid of me actually, because I was getting about 16, 17, you see. Anyway, I got the sack, and that's what brought me into the army, because I was a great reader of books, travel books, Jack London, and books on travel of all kinds. And I was in the library getting a book one day, and next to me was the recruiting sergeant. Very idly, I asked him what it was like in the army. So I got invited to come to his office, and he showed me what it was like. And next day, I had my warrant and went to Perth.
And now, do you know when that was? Would it be 18 or what?
I was just 18, yes.
So around about
my birthday was
1925.
That was before Christmas. It would be. It was 1925. Oh. 1925, and it would be probably December.
Just before Christmas.
Because I remember my memory of having Christmas dinner, my first Christmas dinner, in the barracks at Perth.
Now, who were you joining? Were you joining the infantry? Have you any opinion?
The Royal Tank Regiment was being formed at this time. It was just recruiting, and I wanted to drive a tank. So I wouldn't join the Black Watch, although I was invited to join the Black Watch as the infantry. I wanted to drive a tank. And eventually, I was sent down to join the Royal Corps of Signals to drive a wireless wagon instead.
So had you joined the Royal Tank, when you joined at the recruitment office in Kirkcaldy, had you put down for the Royal Tank Regiment there?
I put down for the Royal Tank Regiment, yes. But it was full up, you see. It was a popular thing, apparently, and it had got its quota.
Had they done any sort of medical examination or intelligence tests for the recruitment
office? Yes.
What do you remember of that?
It was not quite an ordinary test. See, I was at high school, you see. I was quite well educated, even though I didn't complete my time there.
What about, you had to show you a fit, a medical?
I was part of a boys' club where we did long distance running, boxing, shooting, and all that kind of thing, yeah.
So you've been doing that. Which club was that?
It was called Kirkcaldy Boys Club. Run by a man named Dees, D-E-E-S.
And how was that run? What was that? That was mainly to get boys fit, was it?
Oh, it was mainly to get boys off the streets, actually. There was also a girls' club elsewhere.
So what did you do? What was your speciality at the boys' club?
Boxing.
You like boxing?
And shooting. I was a hell of a good shot, actually.
So they did shooting?
Oh, yes.
.22?
Air rifles, yeah.
And you were properly taught and...
Yes, it was very good, actually.
Now, so you were sent to Perth. Now, which barracks at Perth?
I think it was called... If my memory says it was called Queen's Barracks. It was the Black Watch Barracks, anyway.
Were they running the training then? I mean, you weren't joining the Black Watch, were you?
No, I was only... in the Black Watch in Perth barracks, pending going down to Catterick Camp, where I joined the Royal Signals.
So what were you doing at, what was your first impression when you got to the barracks at Perth? You know, you got there in December.
It was very friendly. What impressed me most was that I had a big space to myself, which I never did have living with my grandmother. Because there were too many people living in a small flat in those days.
So,
all kinds of things like that. We used to also have dancing lessons along with the girls' club, and I became a very good ballroom dancer.
Ah, hang on, we're back on the Perth barracks. What were the, you know, when you got there, what was the barracks like? Can you describe your barrack room? Oh, you did your basic
training? Very basic. You got an iron collapsible bed, and three mattresses filled with coir, and four blankets, two sheets, pillow slip, and all that. It was very basic, yeah. And you're on your first pay as a soldier, which was 2 shillings a day, if I remember rightly.
How was it issued? Do you remember the pay parade?
Oh, no. As rookies, we got a pay handed to us.
Now, what about kitting out in uniform? What did you get kitted out with?
I didn't get kitted out with anything in Perth. I didn't get my first uniform until I got to the signals.
Right, okay, hang on. So what were you doing? How long were you at Perth?
Hmm?
How long were you at Perth?
Oh, probably a couple of weeks.
So just in December?
Yes, waiting for to form enough people to make a draft, you see.
And were you doing any training at all there?
I don't think so. I don't remember doing any.
So how do you spend the days?
Reading. I spent a lot of my time reading books on travel, Buffalo Bill books, and books about detectives, Sex and Blake, and all that kind of thing. You know.
So really, you were just as a building up a squad there, not doing anything in particular.
Not doing anything, just waiting for enough people to send down to Catterick as a draft.
Now, so how many of you went down as a draft?
Oh, a draft of about 20.
This is down to Catterick Camp.
Catterick Camp, yes.
You were going to join the Royal Corps of Signals.
I didn't join the Royal Corps of Signals because they wanted drivers, internal combustion, as they called them in those days. So I went down to Catterick, where I waited again to form enough people to do a draft to the Army's driving school, which was down in Middlesex. So I learned to drive.
Well, at Catterick or at Middlesex? Hang on.
This was done in a place called Feltham.
Now, I find this it seems strange to me that you hadn't been through your basic training, but they send you driver training.
Oh, no, I got my basic training in the depot at Catterick.
That's what I thought. So let's do that first, because
I've got a photograph somewhere.
They won't be able to see it, remember, because this is a tape. Now, tell me about, when you got to Catterick, is that where you got your first uniform?
Yes.
Now, tell me what they gave you then.
Well, you got three of all underwear, and three pairs, including three pairs of socks, two uniforms, that's tunic, trousers, and one canvas overall type uniform, a jacket like denims, but brown in colour, which you wore for all work, and your uniform was kept for special occasions.